course decision. I'm joined by David Shapiro. He's a staff attorney at the ACLU National Prison Project. David, thanks so much for joining us this evening.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Now, the case that the court ruled on this week involved a man who was actually mistakenly arrested for failing to pay a traffic fine. Next thing he knows, he's being strip searched. How exactly did the court decide that we should allow that to happen to the 13 million people arrested in this country every year?
Well, what the court said was that it was attempting to strike a balance between the privacy interest in not being subjected to needless strip searches and the law enforcement interest in making sure that contraband is not smuggled in to prisons and jails. But this is a case, as you mentioned, about individuals such as the plaintiff, Mr. Florence, who are arrested for incredibly minor offenses, including things like jaywalking or not having a seatbelt on or a motor vehicle offense. And it also involves cases where there is no particular reason, there's no reasonable suspicion to think that a given individual who's charged with a minor crime is in possession of contraband.
Do we know what percentage of the 13 million annual arrests in this country involve strip searches?
I'm not certain of that question. Prior to the Supreme Court's decision, many of the federal appellate courts had said that you cannot conduct a strip search of an individual charged with a minor offense unless there is reasonable suspicion, and that served as a check against unnecessary strip searches. Unfortunately, the Supreme Court's decision reduces those protections and likely will lead to an increase in the number of unnecessary strip searches that are performed.
Isn't reasonable suspicion just a complete judgment call? I mean, isn't any police officer, can he just decide, I have a suspicion here, I'm going to strip search this person?
Well, the reasonable suspicion standard does allow some level of deference. It allows police officers to use their training and experience to make decisions about when reasonable suspicion exists, and certainly a lower bar than something like probable cause, or it's certainly a much lower bar than something like proof beyond a reasonable doubt. So it's true that a reasonable suspicion is not a particularly exacting standard. And what the Supreme Court does is says, even if you don't meet that low bar of reasonable suspicion, a strip search can still be performed.
Many Americans have never been arrested. They've certainly never been strip searched. And they might say, look, what is the big deal? You strip down naked, get looked over, throw your clothes back on. What's the big deal?
Sure. It's an incredibly traumatizing and humiliating experience for many people. What happens in a typical strip search in a prison or jail is you're in a room with one or more correctional officers. You are ordered to remove all of your clothing. In the case of a man, you're likely going to be required to lift the scrotum, roll back the foreskin. In the case of a woman, you may be even forced to hold open the labia for an officer to peer in. There may be a squat and cough requirement. You may have to raise your arms and turn around. All of this often happens with a correctional officer in very close proximity. In the case of the Mr. Florence in the Supreme Court, the correctional officer was about an arm's length away when this happened. And so it can be an incredibly degrading and humiliating experience.
I'm talking to David Shapiro, staff attorney at the ACLU National Prison Project. So at what point does a strip search get decided on, and what if you tell the officers, you know what, no, I do not want to be strip searched?
You don't have a choice in most cases, unfortunately. What the Supreme Court says is if you are arrested and you are brought to a jail, you can be strip searched. And if you tell an officer no, it's likely that you'll be punished in some further way.
Now, are you saying that you are going to be forcibly disrobed by police officers?
It's quite possible, yes, that if an individual is instructed to remove his or her clothing and doesn't comply, it's entirely possible that the response by the jail staff would be to forcibly remove the clothing.
How often do police officers do a simple pat-down? There's a wand that can be used to detect metal objects. But I mean, how often is that the path that a suspect goes through rather than being stripped down?
A number of prisons and jails do use less intrusive measures, such as pat-down searches, wands. There's something called a boss chair that you can sit on, and it leads to detection of contraband. There are all of these other less invasive searches that the police can conduct when someone is brought to a jail, and they reduce the need for strip searches. Unfortunately, the recent decision gives more latitude to conduct a strip search, even when these other less invasive alternatives would be just as effective.
Is there any evidence, though, that police departments in this country are using strip searches inappropriately?
Yes, there certainly have been, you know, cases about where people have been demeaned, mocked during strip searches, insulted. In some cases, people alleged they are thrown on the floor or otherwise brutalized during strip searches. I mean, a strip search is one of the most vulnerable experiences that one may go through in one's life, and it is the sort of experience where an individual is so powerless that there, unfortunately, is the possibility for abuse.
One thing that would probably strike a nerve for a lot of people are cases that involved women. Anyone with a daughter would probably get quite angry at having her go through a forced strip search over a trivial arrest. Do we know if women are more or less likely to be strip searched?
I don't think they're any more or less likely to be strip searched than men. Typically, a jail will have the same strip search policies that apply across the board to either men or women, and so there, you know, may be a blanket strip search policy that applies to everyone, or there may be more limited use of strip searches that applies to everyone. Mm-hmm. But it's certainly true that, especially for individuals who have experienced sexual trauma in the past, a strip search can be especially humiliating and can actually re-trigger some of that psychological damage.
Some states have laws that demand reasonable suspicion. Michigan does not. Does that now mean that we're going to see a lot more of this happening here in the state? And are those states that have the laws protected from this decision?
Those states that have laws limiting strip searches, those are state laws, and those continue to remain in effect. In the states that don't have those laws on the books, I mean, there's no question that even as we speak, as a result of Monday's decision, there are going to be some jails that are rewriting their policies to allow more and more strip searches. But I wouldn't necessarily assume that every jail is going to do that, and that's because jail administrators are busy people with serious jobs. And many of them may decide not only is it pointlessly humiliating to indiscriminately strip search everyone, but I have real work to do, and I'm going to deal with the serious business of running a jail rather than wasting my time by strip searching people where there's not reasonable suspicion and when they're charged with incredibly minor crimes.
But if you're talking about a strip search, then that's beyond the pat down. You're talking about people that are somehow trying to bring contraband or something else on their body in a more, concealed way. Do you have any thoughts on what other types of methods would work other than a strip search to identify objects like that?
Sure. The gravest concern is weapons, metal weapons such as guns or knives being introduced into a jail. That's something that can generally be detected by a metal detector. Mm-hmm. The metal detector alarms, then you have reasonable suspicion to conduct a strip search if you can't otherwise find the item. What shouldn't be happening is skipping immediately to a strip search, even when there's no reason to think that an individual has contraband.
About 20 seconds left, but I need to ask you, the Supreme Court made this decision now. Is this going to likely reverberate for a decade or so?
I think that's definitely true. I think some issues are left open. Some strip searches may still be so abusive that they are subject to challenge. And so I don't think the decision is going to make this issue go away.
David Shapiro, staff attorney at the ACLU National Prison Project. David, thanks so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you very much.